content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the front page headline, Some Assembly Required. After a flurry of advanced manufacturing deals, now NC must deliver workers. And this special report begins with a second headline inside the Triangle Business Journal. Workers are now job one for NC. With 52,700 jobs announced and a goal of 100,000 across central North Carolina, pressure mounts to ready the workforce without depleting yours. And this is written by David Hill and Ben Tobin. North Carolina's advanced manufacturing future begins in the glove box. The glove box is a smaller version of the production room inside the headquarters of Soelect, spelled S-O-E-L-E-C-T, a company straddling the High Point Greensboro border. Soelect was formed 6 years ago by Sung Jin Cho, then an NC&T University nanoengineering assistant professor, to commercialize advances in solid-state lithium battery materials. Soelect's technology for the anode or electron collector in high-power lithium-ion batteries promises charging in 15 minutes. It can be used for batteries and appliances, industrial equipment, gaming consoles, and cell phones, but the big end use is electric vehicles. The glove box, with two black rubber arms, allows the user to build a small-scale lithium-ion batteries for testing by stacking components like a metal sandwich. Inside, relative humidity is kept at 0.5%. Water and air-exposed lithium don't mix. The glove box is this age's lathe or drill press for Soelect and other companies in its field, where a generation ago a young person entering manufacturing might need experience cutting wood or metal. The new age battery aspirant needs an understanding of tools like the glove box to get a foot in the door. That's the idea behind the Carolina Battery Institute, the nonprofit Soelect created in 2023 and that produced its first handful of students this summer. If we don't have the people, we will struggle to hire and production will be delayed, says June Sunwoo, Soelect's head of business development. To the east of Soelect, the Triangle region is battling similar workforce challenges. Historically low unemployment in the region and new companies coming in monthly provide big obstacles for attracting workers in the region. Add in chipmaker Wolfspeed planning a massive facility in Chatham County and auto giant Toyota building a battery plant out west in Randolph County, and that challenge to attract workers becomes even greater. Together, Wolfspeed and Toyota plan to usher in nearly 7,000 jobs in the region. An influx of new workers in the Triangle can keep the momentum of home buying and spending up for the rapidly growing region, but the jobs could also lead to smaller businesses losing workers. The puzzle comes at a critical juncture for the Triangle, especially those counties on the rim of the explosive growth in Wake County. As those communities attract massive new investments and major businesses at a rapid clip, can they support the smaller businesses that made the region what it is today? New workers could mean a wave of new spending, home buying, and other positive externalities between the Triangle and Triad, but the jobs could also lead to smaller businesses losing workers. The optimal scenario is if you had a group of people who are not working to go to work at Toyota or Wolfspeed, effectively creating a new labor force, says Gerald Cohen, chief economist at the Keenan Institute of Private Enterprise at UNC Chapel Hill. In reality, that's not going to happen. They're going to become unfilled jobs in some mom-and-pop stores that may not be able to compete on wages and benefits. Transformative megasites. September 9, 2022, dawned sunny and bright across North Carolina, fitting for an announcement transforming the area around Siler City in western Chatham County, about halfway between Greensboro and Raleigh. Governor Roy Cooper and Greg Lowe, CEO of Wolfspeed, a Durham semiconductor company developed from 1980s research at NC State University, confirmed from the executive mansion lawn in Raleigh that the company would build a $5 billion factory for making silicon carbide wafers at a site just outside town. The Chatham Advanced Manufacturing Megasite had been developed by a pair of Greensboro investors and had received a significant boost in the state budget to get ready for a major manufacturer. Wolfspeed had considered sites in Virginia and New York, which offered at least $1.3 billion in incentives, but was induced to keep it close to home. The wafers will be made of a material widely considered the next generation of semiconductors. They will go to Wolfspeed's new fabrication plant in upstate New York and can be used in things from cell phones to satellites and power grid controllers, but mainly are destined for electric cars and trucks. The materials factory is a linchpin linking North Carolina to perhaps the biggest emerging industry in the world. With a promise to hire 1,800 workers by decade's end, Wolfspeed suddenly positioned itself to become one of the largest employers in Chatham County, which had 37,678 employed workers as of June 2024, per data from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. But it has been clear the semiconductor manufacturer will draw workers from farther afield. It's on U.S. 421, a route destined to become Interstate 685, which runs diagonally across the state's middle from west of Winston-Salem to Fayetteville. It's the spine of a region known by economic developers as the Carolina Core, where the Greensboro-based Piedmont Triad Partnership and Economic Development Alliance for the region tallied 52,700 new jobs announced since 2018, with a goal of 100,000 by 2038. Big as it was, though, Wolfspeed's new site announcement would be eclipsed 13 months later by an already announced project. On a cool, damp Halloween morning in 2023, Toyota revealed a stunning plan from its construction site in the pines of northeastern Randolph County. Nearly 2 years earlier, Toyota, the world's largest car maker by units sold, had announced a $1.29 billion 1,750 worker plant for making lithium-ion batteries for its hybrid and electric vehicles, its first ever in North America. But on that day, the news was bigger. The company was adding nearly $8 billion in investment and 3,000 jobs to the plant. The total was astounding. An investment of $13.9 billion through the early 2030s and employing 5,100 when fully operating. It will contain 7 million square feet of manufacturing space, or 121 football fields, comparable to all but the biggest vehicle assembly plants in other states. It will be the largest industrial site in North Carolina history. For Central North Carolina, the challenge is filling those jobs. Unemployment rates in both extended metro areas are at near historic lows. About 96% of the people in the labor force are employed, as defined by data from location intelligence consulting firm ESRI, for a radius of about an hour's drive from Toyota's battery plant and from Wolfspeed's Siler City Materials facility. An hour away is the outer limit of where both companies and others say they generally recruit workers. That figure includes people age 16 and into early adulthood who are only nominally in the full-time permanent labor pool. Brent Christensen, president and CEO of the Greensboro Chamber of Commerce, helped recruit Toyota and many of other companies coming to the region. He remains confident in the available workforce. "I don't think that a company like a Toyota is going to make a move like this unless they were absolutely convinced that the labor force was here," he says. Christensen points out that the hiring will be in phases over several years at Toyota, Wolfspeed, and other expanding industrial companies. He's confident in the region's well-established workforce education system. Meanwhile, North Carolina is a steadily growing state, and there are specific projects recruiting talent, both new residents and young people who left and are being lured to return, he notes. Action Greensboro's Boomerang Greensboro project specifically aims to lure back early career natives, and the Piedmont Triad Partnership has a robust marketing campaign touting the Carolina Corridor's appeal and quality of life. And just having companies that know how to develop and retain talent will help. "I feel like we had a good game, but I think it's only going to get better as we go forward, just because of the presence of the Toyotas and the Wolfspeeds and the Booms, Boom Supersonic, the aircraft makers setting up in Greensboro, and everything else that brings to the table," Christensen says. Multiple recruiting fronts. Wolfspeed and Toyota are working their own plans, to be sure. The semiconductor manufacturer is taking a three-pronged geographical approach to its recruitment. The top priority is recruiting in Chatham County, then looking at a circle of counties surrounding Siler City, up to an hour away, where people would be willing to drive in to work, and finally, relocating individuals not in the area. Ashley Evans, Wolfspeed's senior manager for talent acquisition, acknowledges there is a challenge with competing with other companies in the region. "You're always going to have talent that's going to have multiple offers, and you really have to set yourself apart." she says. Wolfspeed certainly has an edge when it comes to competitive wages. In Siler City, the median household income as of 2022 was $48,374. Wolfspeed, meanwhile, is offering an average annual salary of $77,753 at the plant. So far, Wolfspeed has hired 250 people per Evans, and the company expects to hire a couple of hundred more by the end of the year. A big part of that recruitment strategy is partnerships with local higher education institutions. For example, the company in 2020 announced a $4 million investment over 5 years in NCA&T State University to create an endowed scholars program. Central Carolina Community College is working closely with Wolfspeed and and Vietnamese electric vehicle manufacturer VinFast, which has promised to bring 7,500 jobs to Moncure on the opposite side of Chatham County, but has delayed its opening 4 years beyond its initial target to craft training programs. Lisa Chapman, president of CCCC, and colleague Margaret Robertson, vice president of workforce development, say that the institution began offering customized training courses for Wolfspeed this spring. Training will expand over the next several years, per Robertson. Chapman says the community college has also worked with Wolfspeed to develop a dual enrollment certificate for local high school students, which will roll out in Chatham County this fall and help prepare students for entry-level work at the company. Chatham has a wealth of talent, Chapman says. The college's job includes helping this talent develop and hone the skills needed by these companies and facilitating connection of this talent with the employers. This collaboration allows employers to engage in growing the dedicated and skilled workforce that will lead the company's greatest productivity. Prioritizing core competencies. With Toyota, what manufacturing and manufacturing-adjacent employers are up against is a household name company with some of the deepest pockets in the world and one that knows a thing or two about recruiting and retention. As of early August, TBMNC, as the Toyota plant is known internally, had exceeded its incremental hiring target of 1,000, says Jamie Hall, the human resources operations manager. The new hires are enough to fully staff the first production building and nearly enough for the second. Toyota plans testing this fall and production operations in first quarter 2025. Some 75% to 80% of the jobs are directly in production, with the rest in maintenance and support. So as the first building comes online in the spring of 25, we're fully staffed and ready to go, Hall says. Once inside, workers will find a modern, advanced manufacturing operation, though one less hands-on than at Toyota's vehicle assembly plants, Hall says. It'll run 24/7 with an array of shift lengths and schedules throughout the week. Operator pay starts at $23.50 per hour. For maintenance, the technicians will keep the vital machinery working. Pay starts at $30 an hour and goes to $50 an hour. We look at salary spring and fall of every year and make any market adjustments that are needed and warranted to make sure that we are competitive in the local market here, Hall says. The plant will be highly automated with robotics throughout. Much of it involves mixing raw materials, then assembling and packaging lithium-ion battery cells. Initial production will go to Toyota's Georgetown, Kentucky assembly plant for the company's new 3-row battery electric SUV. But TBMNC will also supply batteries for Toyota's array of hybrids, such as the pioneering Prius and all-electric models. Toyota has a screening, intake, and onboarding operation set up in leased office space in Greensboro. Company officials stress they're looking for core competencies, attention to detail, adaptability, quality focus, safety-mindedness, and basic math, measurement, and troubleshooting skills. Then new workers will be trained for site-specific work. A lot of the robotics, hydraulics, all the things that go into high-speed manufacturing will be a part of our operation, Hall says. From an operator's standpoint, they have to know the machine inside and out. They have to know the different dynamics and things that are going on with the power. They have to be able to troubleshoot, to identify where there may be issues with the equipment and the product. Always checking. Pay scale ripples. The hiring push by Wolfspeed, Toyota, and others could spell a significant increase in wages and salaries, better conditions, or both. A recent report by the Cleveland Federal Reserve suggested investments in electrification of transportation could significantly boost earnings among non-college-educated workers the way the early 2000s boom and horizontal hydraulic fracking of shale deposits did in much of the Northeast and Midwest. In counties where the number of horizontally drilled shale wells doubled, Typically over 4 years, non-college workers saw employment grow by 11.2% and earnings grow by 5.9%. The industries are different, and the study examined mostly county-level labor forces, not entire extended metro areas. But the researchers noted that while the worker pool is bigger when employers draw from across metro areas, there are also more projects competing for those workers. They say that when similar studies have taken this into account, the conclusions are the same. For example, a study of fracking by researchers at Dartmouth College concluded that within a 100-mile radius, each $1 million in new production is associated with wage increases of $257,000 and 2.13 jobs, about three times as large as the effects at the county level. Hiring upgrades coming. For employers, the Central North Carolina advanced manufacturing boom could mean having to up the recruiting and retention game. It's a competitive market in Mebane and other and across the U.S. when you think about distribution and transportation jobs, says Steve Miller, Executive Vice President for Supply Chain Operations at Medline, the Chicago-based medical supplies distributor that opened a hub in western Orange County in 2020. While Medline is primarily in logistics, its Mebane facility draws on much of the same labor pool as neighboring manufacturers. Miller says it has to pay attention to being a good place to work. It seems to be succeeding. Miller says it's cut the turnover rate in half since last fall. In addition to paying competitively, starting hourly rates for warehouse operators and drivers range from $18 to $26.50. Medline offers its benefits package from day one of starting work and relies on automation to ease the physical burden of logistics work. It seeks to have quality amenities but also believes its workforce is mission motivated. I truly believe that what we offer at Medline when we consider options that their team members might have is the type of work that we do, Miller says. Really, the mission of the company to help healthcare run better across the entire continuum of care. Enlarging the hiring ready pool. The hiring pressure isn't just from Toyota and Wolfspeed, of course. Among those 52,700 jobs identified as coming along US 421 are those at several smaller but significant location or expansion announcements. Larger examples include about 500 workers making and servicing rail cars and locomotives at Siemens Mobility in Lexington, 400 expected at Autel Energy for building vehicle chargers in Greensboro, 360 or more from Dai Nippon Printing making EV battery pouches in Lexington, and 330 for a Greensboro Manufacturing Center for Winston-Salem biotech startup ProKidney. Pivotal to all of their needs is training the talent pool. About 40 minutes west of Toyota's site on a recent weekday, two young people in safety glasses and steel-toed boots pondered an electric pump on the factory floor of Jowatt, a maker of industrial adhesives. The pump supplies a chemical lubricant that keeps pellets of adhesive, which look like oversized BBs, from sticking to one another in the piping throughout the factory in Trinity in Randolph County. Darius Heaton and Abby Hayes, leading a tour, explains that the pump has to be checked regularly and it's prone to overheating. If it shuts down, production can shut down. The importance of preventative maintenance on the ground is one of the key lessons they've taken from their time at Jowatt as employee students in the FAME program run by Jowatt and a consortium of industrial employers in Guilford, Randolph, and surrounding counties with Guilford Technical Community College. FAME, for Federation for Advanced Manufacturing Education, grew out of Toyota's own workforce development and employee training program. For companies, it's a way to build a pool of candidates with basic skills and experience needed as manufacturing gets more tech-oriented. Just no pipeline there. Employers in FAME are also fighting a 30-year trend in secondary education to stress 4-year college degrees at the expense of skilled manufacturing-oriented trades, says Hillary Walser, Jowatt's HR director and president of the First in Flight FAME chapter. A lot of teenagers got turned to the 4-year path and have now come and said, I really don't like this. I didn't find a job out there. I want to work with my hands. I don't want to sit in an office behind a computer all day, she says. Right now in the U.S., I believe we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 500,000 people needed for technical jobs, and there's just no pipeline there. For Heeden of Ashboro and Hayes of Gibsonville, fame is part of a longer-term career path that likely involves manufacturing. Both say the fame experience and work at Joette has set them up to be better engineers by seeing the theory in practice. And it's an example of how communities will have to be creative in finding ways to develop workers for the explosive growth ahead. We all know they're looking for over 5,000 employees, Walzer says. Eventually, it will touch us, but the one thing that I will definitely say that Toyota has brought to this whole community is they are trying with every employer inside of Randolph and Guilford County to recruit from that younger pool of people because they understand they don't want to decimate companies that are potentially going to supply them and to just be good community partners with them. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Triangle looks to Mexican market. Direct flight to Mexico City underscores rising interest in trade with Mexico. Mexico City is 2,100 miles from the Triangle, but the connection to the Mexican market shortened this summer when Aeromexico launched a direct flight from Raleigh-Durham International Airport to Mexico City, and potential trade is being highlighted this month in Raleigh. We have some real opportunities in strengthening trade, says Claudia Velasco, the Mexican General Counsel based in Raleigh. She says the trend toward near-shoring to Mexico can help North Carolina companies. For example, Furniture Today reports that China's furniture exports to the U.S. are down 35% from 2019, which Mexico's are up 65%. Other more traditional industries with ties to Mexico include textiles and lumber, but Mexico is also looking to expand in other areas of keen interest in the Triangle. Mexico is becoming much more high-tech, especially Guadalajara, says John Hyatt, a North Carolina native who leads the Southward Advisors firm that advises on trade. Federal numbers show North Carolina exported $5.4 billion in goods to Mexico in 2023, third to Canada and China, and Velasco says 150,000 jobs in the state depend on Mexican trade. She is among those speaking at a day-long discussion September 19 at the Fifth Third Bank at 305 Church at North Hill Street. Tickets to the event, which features panelists and networking, are available to the public. Velasco sees opportunities in computer parts, plastic products, electrical equipment, turbines, power transmission equipment, and more. As for the direct flight, interest so far has been keen. Ivan Vukov, the director of sales for Aeromexico, says the daily 99-seat flights are running at 90% capacity. The reaction has blown us out of the water, he says. The reception from the corporate community was like, oh, finally, we've been waiting for you guys. Vukov says Aeromexico connects to 45 destinations around Mexico. We like to give people access to everything that is Mexico, which is a lot more than just beaches, he quips. Raleigh approves new zoning in North Hills. A modest group of buildings along Computer Drive in Raleigh, just off Six Forks Road, is on the brink of being transformed. The City Council approved changing the zoning for 17.98 acres from 3 stories to 20 with some conditions. With Raleigh's growth, it's easy to overlook how substantial 20 stories is, but the Holiday Inn that has been a part of the downtown skyline since the 1960s and the Advanced Auto Parts Tower in North Hills are both 20 stories, and the CapTrust Center at North Hills is 17 stories. New role for former Advance Auto leader. A former Advance Auto Parts leader is trading car parts for pool parts. Jason McDonald, a former executive vice president of merchandising, marketing, and e-commerce at Advance Auto Parts, is starting as CEO at Leslie's, a swimming pool supply retailer based in Phoenix, September 9. Prior to his 5-year stint at Advance Auto Parts, McDonald spent 21 years at PepsiCo, where he climbed to the position of president of PepsiCo Foods Canada. Leslie's has a location in Raleigh and one in Cary, according to its website. UNC Health expands in Chapel Hill. UNC Health has completed a major expansion on its Chapel Hill campus. The health system in August began operating a new 375,000 square foot surgical hospital that has been under construction since 2019. The facility marks the single largest addition to the health system's Chapel Hill campus since it was built in 1952. The 7-story building includes 80 private rooms and 26 surgical spaces, supporting advanced surgical care and services for patients throughout the state. The facility also employs about 500 workers, including more than 100 new jobs. UNC Health could see more expansions throughout the Triangle. The system has proposed building massive new hospitals in both Research Triangle Park and Wake Forest. Those projects are at different stages of development. The RTP facility is facing an appeals process, and state regulators are still reviewing the Wake Forest proposal. And finally, entrepreneurs selling historic farm for $4.9 million. A well-known Triangle couple is selling a Hillsboro farmhouse built in 1887 for $4.9 million. Jamie Dement, chef and co-owner of Bella Bean Organics, and her husband, serial entrepreneur Richard Holcomb, are selling their property along the Eno River after deciding it's time to move to Chapel Hill. Dement has been a well-known chef and cookbook author for years, using their large property with gardens, greenhouses, and barns to support her ventures. Dement is CEO of Kidzoo Children's Museum in Chapel Hill. She says she will keep her farming and garden operation going, just on a smaller scale. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, written by Lauren Onosorge. J.P. Morgan plans more branches in Triangle. Bank will move into Johnston, Chatham counties. Filing show. J.P. Morgan Chase has had a busy summer in the Triangle, disclosing plans with regulators for an additional 5 branches in the region, including the bank's first branches in Johnston and Chatham counties. A sweep of filings with the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency shows the summer disclosure spree started in June with papers filed for a branch in the Raleigh bedroom community of Rollsville to be located at South Main Street and Jonesville Road. J.P. Morgan quickly followed it up with filings for locations in Selma in Johnston County at the Eastfield Crossing Development, Pittsboro off of Chapel Hill Road, Holly Springs at Holly Springs Town Center, and Chapel Hill at Caraway Village. The bank is also building a new branch on Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh, across from the Pleasant Valley Promenade, where Fifth Third Bank has a new branch. The new branches for Chatham and Johnston come as no surprise, as those counties are seeing incredible amounts of income pour in from new residents. A timeline for when the branches will open was not available. A J.P. Morgan spokeswoman says that as many of the locations are still pending approval, so she couldn't share more on the bank's plans. J.P. Morgan currently has 16 branches in the region and plans to open 2 more by the end of the year. Representatives from J.P. Morgan said earlier this year the bank planned to exceed 20 branches in the region by the end of 2025. It's part of an aggressive strategy to add 500 branches, renovate 1,700 locations, and hire 3,500 employees across its U.S. footprint over the next 3 years. It's a big bet for the firm, which made its North Carolina branch debut in 2019 when CEO Jamie Dimon cut the ribbon on the Franklin Street location in Chapel Hill. And our next story is written by Kaylee Thompson. Raleigh's J.D. Beam continues rebound. Company that dates to 1975 buys new office campus as it grows. A Raleigh general contractor bought an office campus to support its growth and bring in new revenue. J.D. Beam, a Triangle Business Journal 2023 Fast 50 winner, acquired a 2-building office campus for about $8.8 million in Northeast Raleigh, according to Wake County deed records. The buildings are off Perry Creek Road between Highway 401 and the Neuse River. The company dates to 1979, when it was founded by David Beam. The new purchase continues a surge the company has been on in recent years after some difficult years. Tom Antoine, the president and CEO of J.D. Beam, took over in 2017, and the company was shattered in 2019 when longtime employee Joe Rucker died at his desk from a heart attack. At one point, the company had just 13 employees. But the firm has steadily recovered and grown. Now it is moving into one of the buildings to expand its operations while leasing out the other. Antoine and the company has outgrown its current space, where it's been for 20 years, and has used every inch of it in North Raleigh inside the Beltline. Other companies that have recently moved into larger spaces to accommodate growth have been Ferguson Enterprises, ServPro, Gallo Mechanical, and Bobbitt Construction. J.D. Beam's current office is about 6,500 square feet for the company's 39 employees. It will quadruple its space by moving into 6870 Perry Creek Road, a 2-story building with 25,413 square feet of space. The company will move in by the end of the year after performing minor upgrades like updating technology and painting. Antoine says the contractor is planning to hire 6 to 8 people over the next year to help support its growth. It also has warehouse space for its tools and equipment, a training center for workforce development, and plenty of office space for continued growth. There's a fitness room, indoor basketball court, and locker rooms with showers at the 6870 building. The other building, 6880 Perry Creek Road, has 21,970 square feet of office space. The 3-story building is vacant, which Antoine says the company will lease out by floor. Michael Waldrop of Waldrop Properties is handling the leasing. The Class B buildings were built in 2001 and renovated in 2019. The combined assessed value is about $7.1 million. And our last major news story, how Morrisville landed 200 EV jobs. And this is written by Lauren Onasorge. A peek behind the curtain shows an aggressive effort was required to score a 200-job battery gigafactory in Morrisville, known by the codename Project Archimedes. Forge Nano had lucrative options. Forge Nano, according to the records recently released by the NC Department of Commerce, could have received $17 million from either South Carolina or Indiana, and up to $5 million from Colorado, Georgia, and Ohio were also interested. But the firm announced last November plans to locate its lithium-ion battery manufacturing plant in Morrisville. That's as a final North Carolina incentives offer came to just over $1.5 million. Forge could also receive an additional $6.5 million from the state, according to the company. Morrisville offered up another $142,000, with Wake County fronting $1.5 million in local incentives. Forge Nano's pick was a long time coming, as emails included in records obtained by Triangle Business Journal go back to April 2023. By September, officials thought an announcement was imminent, with internal emails at Commerce eagerly anticipating the final word. It came September 18 when Chief Financial Officer Michael Kleinberg wrote the state, "We look very much forward to working with you all." Forge Nano told the state it planned to invest an initial $165 million in a new lithium-ion battery manufacturing plant set to be operational in 2026. The plan calls for hiring more than 200 people. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, starting with Lauren Onasorge's page, Technology and Innovation. LinkedIn post gets investor attention. New company formed from former Jupiter One employees off to fast start. Armed with an idea and a LinkedIn post, a trio of technology vets secured nearly $2 million to fund their startup before they even had an actual product. Meet Opine, a stealthy Durham startup looking to use AI to streamline technical pre-sales. Today, they have 4 customers, including Jupiter One, the cybersecurity firm they left last year. A trio of former Jupiter One employees, Akash Ganapathy, Charlie Duong, and Austin Kelleher, took the entrepreneurship plunge, quitting their jobs and going all in on an idea. The idea came out of Ganapathy's role at Jupiter One as senior director of product management. To sell a new product to established players required intense technical expertise. Add in busy work such as filling out deal summaries and typing up stakeholder emails, and salespeople with technical experience were wasting time on administrative tasks. Ganapathy remembers thinking, what if the process could be automated through an AI agent of sorts? But the Opine co-founders didn't receive a paycheck from their new entity for nearly 6 months, and the product wasn't released until after the firm closed its initial round of capital, nearly $1.9 million, earlier this year. But that LinkedIn post announcing their move from Jupiter One was critical in attracting capital. Over 75% of the round was filled by people who came to us after seeing the LinkedIn post about what we were working on, Ganapathy says. Local dollars amounted to less than 25% of the raise. Primarily, backers came from the Bay Area. Today, the firm is showing traction, but the work is just beginning. Ganapathy says optimizing spending is essential. Should we be spending on this hire or that hire, he says. We have a limited number of people we can hire before we hit the next milestone. There's a lot of ways to play it. Tech firm announces 57 layoffs near Cary. 10 years after promising to bring more than 1,200 new jobs to Cary, Indian IT services firm HCL has disclosed 57 layoffs tied to a single Triangle client. HCL told state officials that a layoff impacted employees deployed at a client facility located several miles from HCL's corporate office. It warned that it's likely more employees will be impacted in the coming months, but wasn't specific. HCL, like similarly situated companies, partners with firms on IT operations. Its partners include firms such as Xerox and Microsoft. It entered the Triangle in 2008, announcing plans in 2014 to create more than 1,200 call center positions at a new global development center in Cary. Within 7 years, it had expanded its presence to 2,200 employees. And it is still hiring, according to a careers website, its careers website, which listed several open positions from project managers to business analysts. Company representatives did not immediately respond to the layoff news September 2nd. According to what HCL told the North Carolina Department of Commerce, its displaced employees will be offered the opportunity to be hired for another role with either the firm or another client, based on their skills and experience to the extent possible. EV firm puts new U.S. headquarters in Raleigh. An Israeli EV company whose technology is used by Shell, Circle K, and Volvo has quietly tapped Raleigh for its U.S. headquarters. Drivz, spelled D-R-I-I-V-Z, develops smart, or maybe Drivz is how they pronounce it, develops smart EV charging and energy management software. Oren Halevi, chief product officer, will join the local office as Drivz builds out its footprint. The firm already has local ties as it's part of the Vontier Corporation portfolio. The Raleigh operation will be located at 5438 Wade Park Boulevard, where Vontier is headquartered. Drivz, according to the company, has operations in more than 30 countries, enabling hundreds of millions of events for millions of EV drivers and managers, and manages 100,000 public chargers. Vontier, which spun out of Washington state-based Fortive Corporation to become a standalone company in 2020, focuses on transportation and mobility technologies, and much of its growth happens through acquisitions. And finally, new date scheduled for Complete 540. A new target date to open several miles of the Complete 540 project to traffic in Southern Wake County is on the calendar after Tropical Storm Debbie washed out in August opening. After years of litigation, followed by years of construction, Complete 540 Phase 1 could open to the public on September 25, the day after a tentatively scheduled ribbon-cutting ceremony, according to officials with the North Carolina Turnpike Authority. The storm wiped away plans to open the 18-mile section, which runs from the NC-55 bypass in Apex to Interstate 40 in Garner, ahead of the Labor Day weekend. But weather delays are nothing new for the huge project. Crews had hoped to complete the first phase earlier this summer. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page, Healthcare and Life Sciences. Lindy Bio sees path to huge profits. Morrisville firm signs deal with Novartis that could mean close to $1 billion. Novartis is paying Lindy Biosciences of Morrisville $20 million up front as part of a licensing and collaboration agreement that could be worth close to $1 billion. The deal involves Lindy using its technology to make certain Novartis products more convenient for patients to self-administer. In addition to the upfront payment, Lindy could receive an additional $934 million contingent on various regulatory and commercial milestones. The deal also involves tiered single-digit royalties on net sales of commercial products to emerge from the partnership. Lindy was founded in 2016 after spinning out of Duke University and Southeast Tech Inventures, an accelerator focused on advancing university research into commercial opportunities. CEO Deborah Bitterfield earned a PhD while working on the technology at Duke before joining the accelerator. Typically, most antibody therapeutics are administered to patients through an IV because the high doses required of the medicines cannot be formulated properly for at-home injections. Lindy is developing its technology so patients can receive higher doses of the medicines through self-administered injections, Bitterfield says. This method has the potential to reduce costs. Lindy's work with companies involves some medicines that are already approved and commercially available and products that are in development. Its technology can be applied broadly to biologic medicines, with most of its focus on monoclonal antibodies, which require high doses. The deal with Novartis, an expansion of a previous relationship, enables Lindy to move its formulation technology into the clinic for the first time, a major milestone for the company. The agreement also provides Lindy with additional financial resources. Durham firm that raised $80 million shuts down. After raising tens of millions of dollars to develop a treatment targeting pulmonary hypertension, a Durham biopharmaceutical company has shut down abruptly. In a message on its website, Arami Therapeutics, and that's spelled A-E-R-A-M-I, says the company has concluded operations, but little information is available. An automated response from a company official's email address replied with the same message. Arami was developing a drug-device combination comprised of an inhaled formulation of the drug imatinib, I-M-A-T-I-N-I-B, as a potential treatment for patients with pulmonary arterial hypertension and pulmonary hypertension associated with interstitial lung disease. It had completed a Phase 1 study. The move comes amid challenging financial environments for small drug developers. In November, Arami filed paperwork with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission showing it had raised about $1 million. The company in the filing identified a total offering amount of $20 million. There are no recent SEC filings indicating what determined the fate of the company. From 2015 through 2023, the company raised more than $80 million from investors, according to multiple SEC filings. Report details struggles for North Carolina rural hospitals. A review of the nation's rural hospitals has categorized five in North Carolina as facing immediate risk of closure due to financial losses that can't be covered by their assets. The findings from the Center for Healthcare Quality and Payment Reform also serve as a warning for urban hospitals, which will be forced to serve more patients if others close. That's going to get worse if more hospitals close or convert to rural emergency hospitals, Harold Miller, president and CEO of the center, told the Denver Business Journal. CHQPR did not identify the five hospitals at risk of immediate closure, but it did show those in the red for their average three-year margins. Among those were Central Carolina Hospital in Sanford, Chatham Hospital in Siler City, ECU Health North Hospital in Roanoke Rapids, Person Memorial Hospital in Roxboro, and UNC Lenoir Healthcare in Kinston. And finally, Humacyte leader, now CEO of Durham's startup. A small biotech in Durham has a new leader. Juliana Bloom, on August 12, became CEO of BioAesthetics, which is focusing on improving the treatment of advanced wounds and reconstructive care. Bloom had spent 20 years at another Durham biotech, Humacyte. Bloom was a co-founder at Humacyte and helped it progress from an early-stage startup to a public company nearing its first regulatory approval. But Bloom missed the scrappy environment of early-stage startups. She left Humacyte at the end of 2022 and joined the North Carolina Biotechnology Center as an entrepreneur in residence. And now we turn to the retail and restaurants page. This is written by Kate Tracy. Report offers glimpse of downtown Raleigh. More stores open than close in 2024 as retail starts to rebound. 4 years after the pandemic redefined where people work and how businesses operate, the future of downtown Raleigh remains an unsettled question. But the city's core business district has made progress in recapturing its economic momentum. Raleigh has been grappling with the realities of a hybrid workforce, crime, and a lower foot traffic. But a new report from the Downtown Raleigh Alliance notes that Downtown Raleigh has gained 5,065 new residential units since 2015. Currently, there are 9,077 residential units downtown, equating to more than 13,700 residents. Office occupancy remains a challenge as direct vacancy sits at around 14% for Class A office space. The report also highlighted the trends in retail and hospitality as downtown looks to restore the vitality it had before the pandemic. Retail. More than 180 new retail businesses have opened downtown since the beginning of 2020, resulting in a net gain of 42 storefront businesses and a storefront occupancy rate of 83.7% per the report. So far in 2024, 25 storefront businesses have closed, while 39 new businesses have opened. The Glenwood South neighborhood boasts the high occupancy rate downtown at 90.43%. while Fayetteville Street has the lowest at 72.41%. Since January 2020, downtown has gained nearly 300,000 square feet of new retail space, while 93,006 square feet is under construction and 247,507 square feet is in the pipeline. A study found that Harrogate and Wilmington streets see the most pedestrians with more than 2,600 daily walkers. Glenwood Avenue and Tucker Street see the second most with more than 2,000 daily, while Hillsborough and Dawson Street see the least with approximately 400 daily pedestrians. Food and beverage. Bar and restaurants generated $314 million in sales between July 2023 and June 2024, a 2% year-over-year increase, according to the report. Downtown has 268 restaurants and bars, with 28 more on the way. Meanwhile, June was the first month that downtown surpassed its pre-pandemic visitation numbers. The report says 3.8 million unique visitors came downtown between July 2023 and June 2024. Downtown continues to add new hotel rooms to accommodate visitors, with 410 rooms currently under construction and 1,590 rooms in development, including the Omni Hotel. And now we turn to the Greater Triangle page, written by Ben Tobin. Investors planning more urgent cares. Sanford location is the latest AFC urgent care, and more are coming. Two North Carolina entrepreneurs are expanding their urgent care operation around the Triangle, recently opening a new facility in Lee County. Business partners and longtime friends Aaron Fields and Aaron Zucker opened an AFC urgent care facility in Sanford this month. The location sits at 2000 South Horner Boulevard and is the third AFC urgent care location opened by the pair. American Family Care is a national organization, and Fields and Zucker are local franchisees. In September 2020, Fields and Zucker opened their first AFC urgent care location in Fuquay Varina. Roughly a year later, in October 2021, the pair opened their second facility in Wendell Falls. A fourth location in the Harnett County city of Dunn is set to open later this year, according to Fields. We like to provide a different experience with Netflix and all the exam rooms, snacks and waters in the lobby and warm blankets for patients in the winter, Field says. We just try to find the small intangibles that provide excellent experience for patients, because in all reality, nobody wants to be in an urgent care. If you're in an urgent care, you're sick or you're hurt, and we view it as our job to make the visit as comfortable and seamless as humanly possible. Field says that the new facility occupies 4,000 square feet and has 9 exam rooms. Services include walk-in appointments, family medicine, physicals, STI, STD testing, and more. With the new location, Field says that there are dozens of employees working within their local AFC organization. One of those employees is the local franchisees group's director of operations, Trent Norris. More locations will be on the way. Field says his group is looking at adding AFC urgent care locations in Chatham and Johnston counties. We're bullish and really excited about serving these communities, Field says. Charlotte developer pays millions for land. A Charlotte home builder is spending millions of dollars to acquire lots for two upcoming neighborhoods in one of the hottest counties in North Carolina. An LLC tied to Eastwood Homes purchased a combined 68 lots across two proposed subdivisions in Johnston County for more than $6.3 million late last month, according to two separate deeds. The neighborhoods will be in the towns of Archer Lodge and Benson, respectively. Representatives of Eastwood Homes did not respond to requests seeking comment regarding the lot purchases. The seller was MHB Development of Archer Lodge. Per the deed filings, the first neighborhood is called Castlewood and will be located off Arundel Drive and Archer Lodge. Homes for the neighborhood will start selling in the low $400,000s, according to Eastwood Homes' website, with homes ranging from 1,541 square feet to above 3,000 square feet. Eastwood Homes purchased 36 lots for this subdivision. It's unclear how many homes will be total there will be. The second neighborhood, per deed filings, is called Weddington and will be located off Kissington Way in Benson. Eastwood Homes said on its website that homes will start selling in the $400,000s. Eastwood Homes purchased 32 lots for this subdivision. Southern Pines builder buys land in Aberdeen. A Moore County home builder has invested in a prime piece of real estate in the growing county. An LLC tied to Ascot Corporation of Southern Pines purchased around 30 acres in Aberdeen off the intersection of U.S. 15501 and PD Road for $1.3 million late last month, according to Moore County deed records. The land is zoned for residential use, according to Moore County tax records. Representatives of the company did not respond to requests seeking comment. The company has built subdivisions across Moore County. This is the latest sign that Moore County, which offers opportunities for retirees and others looking for a slower pace of life and a lower cost of living, is going to continue to grow at a sizable clip. And finally on this page, real estate firm grabs prime land along I-85. A real estate company based in Georgia is pouring millions of dollars into a swath of land in an area north of Durham. Axiom North, an LLC tied to North Point Development of Savannah, recently purchased 6 parcels off East Lyon Station Road in Granville County for more than $3.3 million, according to Granville County deed records. The land sits in the town of Butner in the southern part of the county and totals more than 146 acres. Representatives of North Point did not respond to requests seeking comment. The parcels collectively have different zonings, light industrial, conditional district, and R25 residential. The company, which also has offices in Charlotte, South Carolina, deals in commercial, industrial, and residential development. The company's website does not list any projects in North Carolina. And our final reporter page is Kaylee Thompson's page on real estate and development. North Hills scores lease for Parexel. Innovation District lures clinical research company from Durham. A global clinical research organization is relocating its headquarters from Durham to North Hills in Raleigh. Parexel signed a lease for 61,076 square feet of office space in the almost complete Tower 5 in the North Hills Innovation District. The move is set for early 2026, says Hooker Manning, director of office leasing for Kane Realty. The company will occupy 2 full floors. We started seeing the makings of a pretty big movement, office leasing, about a year ago. Having them come from RTP was a big deal. It's just not something we've typically seen at North Hills, Manning says. The activity we've seen is really interesting because it's not in our typical North Raleigh and downtown submarkets. It's from out of market and from submarkets that are a good ways away. Manning says Kane will start work on upfitting Parexel space at the end of this year, finishing around November 2025. Parexel's office will not have any lab or life sciences-oriented space, but will be traditional office space for sales, research and development, and other uses. This move aligns with our commitment to providing flexible and adaptable workspaces designed to align with how our colleagues work today, Parexel CEO Peyton Howell says. With thoughtfully designed areas and surrounding amenities, our new headquarters will prioritize our employees' well-being while maximizing opportunities for productivity and collaboration so that our colleagues can do their best work in the development of critical new therapies for patients. Parexel employs 219 people at its office off Meridian Parkway outside Research Triangle Park and 1,041 people total in North Carolina. It was acquired by EQT Private Equity and Goldman Sachs Asset Management for $8.5 billion in 2021. Tower 5 is a 17-story tower with 342,000 square feet of office space and ground floor retail. Apartments Homes pitched in Garner Project. A mixed-use project with nearly 1,000 housing units is being proposed in Garner, south of Raleigh. Gander Development of Durham has submitted site plans for the Villages at Garner Station, adjacent to the Garner Recreational Park and near the distillery event venue. The development north of Highway 70 will have 350 single-family attached homes, 630 apartments, and 35,000 square feet of commercial space. The first phase will be single-family attached homes. Robert Schunk, director of entitlements for Gander, says the developer is in negotiations with a regional home builder for the project, but details about the homes aren't solidified yet. The neighborhood will fill the gap between the existing Garner Recreational Park to the west and the town's future Yergin Park, set to open in winter 2027, with a community that celebrates communal open space and provides connections to the town parks and existing natural open space within the community, Schunk says. The company expects the homes to be available in late 2026. And finally on this page, Texas firm has big plans for a modest Durham site. An industrial developer has entered the Triangle market with a $16 million land acquisition in northeast Durham with plans for a big project. Lovett Industrial of Houston bought a 27-acre site with a small warehouse near the Interstate 85-885 interchange, according to Durham County deed records. Lovett plans to demolish the Class C building on the site and develop the 351,030-square-foot Durham Logistics Center. The Durham Logistics Center will have 36-foot clear heights, 84 dock-high doors, 86 trailer parking spaces, and a 185-foot deep truck court, according to Lovett. And with our remaining time, we'll read as much as we can of this last story by Kate Tracy. Neapolitan Niche Pizza Restaurant Opening. An out-of-state restaurant chain that describes its pizza as Neapolitan-ish is coming to Raleigh. Timber Pizza Company, based in the Washington, D.C. area, is opening in early October at 627 East Whitaker Mill Road in the High Park Village Retail Center. The space formerly belonged to Ladyfingers. The space will be just under 2,000 square feet. Luke Watson, Timber Pizza CEO, said his team spent a considerable amount of time exploring different markets in the Southeast before choosing Raleigh. It has an awesome food scene already and a growing food scene, so something that we feel like is only going to continue to expand, Watson said, adding that Raleigh's demographics of young families and college students were attractive. He was particularly drawn to the nearby Five Points neighborhood for its strong community feel and its food scene. The restaurant's interior will feature a wood-fired pizza oven. In addition to wood products from Raleigh Reclaimed, the interior can seat 40 people, while the outdoor patio will seat 15 to 20 guests. Timber Pizza signed its lease in December, and the space has been under construction since, with build-out costs hovering around $600,000. HMD Construction and Development was the general contractor on the project. And finally, we'll read off the big number sections that are sprinkled throughout the Triangle Business Journal. The first big number, $228 million. That's how much UNC Chapel Hill plans to spend on a new seven-story facility that will help turn scientific findings into potential commercial properties. Excuse me, commercial opportunities. $5 billion. Estimated investment in Wolfspeed silicon carbide wafer factory under construction in Chatham County. $2.1 million. Estimated vacancy of manufacturing jobs in the U.S. by 2030. And finally, $14 billion. The amount Toyota expects to invest $13.9 billion in its lithium-ion battery factory near Liberty along the U.S. 421 Future I-685 corridor. And we'll go ahead and stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And if you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long, until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.